Good morning, church. This morning's text comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Evelyn, for reading our text for us today. Before I go any further, I have been severely warned that if I forget to announce children's church today for children ages 3 to 5, if we have any children ages 3 to 5, Ron, you don't count. You're almost 6. All right. And good morning, Northwest.
Good morning.
The message I want to share with you today, I call "Your Word is Your Bond." And the text is from Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Evelyn just read our text for us. And so allow me to pray for us, and then we will talk through the text together. Let's bow again, shall we, Heavenly Father? Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your continued grace and mercies that you renew for us and to us each and every day. As King David wrote in the 118th Psalm, and as Pastor Don reminded us this morning, this is the day that you have made just for us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, Lord, we do rejoice this morning. We rejoice for the privilege of being able to gather together in your house with one another, whether it is here at Northwest or at our homes through the live feed. Lord, this morning we join our hearts and our minds together as a body of Christ. And Lord, as we now continue to worship you and to honor you through the preaching of and through the hearing of your word, may all that we say and do here this morning be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Father, we pray these things in the blessed and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, some of you here this morning will no doubt remember the one-hit wonder called Milli Vanilli. From 1988 until 1989, they sold 30 million singles and 14 million albums. In fact, in January of 1990, they won a Grammy Award for the album "Girl, You Know It's True." And they were recognized as the best new artists of that year. Now, the only problem was, it wasn't true. They had lip-synced the entire recording and had to return their Grammy Award in shame. After which, Jimmy Bowen, president of Capitol Records, their recording company, said this, and I quote, "You have to remember that music is a mirror of the times. And when the mirror is too close to what's happening, that's what sells. The times we live in," he continued, are very plastic. There are a lot of phony things happening in people's lives. And Milli Vanilli was just playing the game. Well, in our text today, Jesus deals with this entire problem of just playing the game. Playing the game of lying, cheating, fraud, and deception. And in this passage before us today, Jesus says it as only he could. He says, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Now that one statement speaks to the real problem we have in society today, which is lying. A research conducted by the Institute of Behavior Motivation has found that 97 out of 100 people tell lies, and they do so on the average of about 1,000 lies a year. And this propensity to lie, cheat, deceive, and shade the truth, it has affected how we both see ourselves and how we see one another in this society. Several years ago, the Roper Center for Public Opinion Research surveyed the public about its perception of who's telling the truth. And I found the results of this survey to be quite telling. The people said, in their opinion, the clergy told the truth just 49% of the time. Ouch. And doctors, is Dr. Matt Lee here today? No, he's not. Okay. Well, doctors, just 48% of the time. Their best friend, just 26% of the time. The local television news outlets told the truth just 10% of the time. And what's even sadder, the public opinion polls say that the president of the United States tells the truth just 8% of the time. And Congress didn't even fare that good. Survey said the leaders of Congress, just 3% of the things they say people believe are true. How tragically sad this is. To think that we live in a country that we have become so convinced that politicians and lying go together that it has become one big joke. I once heard about a bus full of politicians that was speeding down a country road when it swerved into a field and crashed into a tree. The farmer who owned the field heard the noise and he went to investigate. And then he dug a gigantic hole and he buried all of the politicians in it. A few days later, the sheriff drove by and saw the overturned bus. He knocked on the farmhouse door. And when the farmer came to the door, the sheriff said, "Sir, where are all the politicians who were on that bus?" The farmer said, "I buried them." To which the sheriff asked, "Were they all dead?" To which the farmer replied, "Well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how politicians lie." Again, how sad this story is. Maybe a bit humorous, but it's also sad because the truth is we are living in a society that is hungering for honesty in its leadership. James Patterson and Peter Kim wrote a fascinating book called The Second American Revolution. And they interviewed 1,000 Americans and asked this question: what do you want in a president? And then they gave each person a detailed list of 74 proven leadership traits that they could choose from. By far and away, the highest percentage of those interviewed, 79%, said that the single most attribute, important attribute they wanted in a president was honesty. Now, have you ever heard of someone being called a born liar? Well, the truth is, we are all born liars. Psalms 58 and verse 3 says this, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray speaking lies." In fact, if you are a parent here today, then you already know that you don't need to teach your children how to lie. No, you need to teach them how to tell the truth. Beloved, we need to learn how to make sure that the words that pass through the gate of our mouth are guarded by honesty on one side and integrity on the other. And in this tremendous passage of Scripture today, Jesus gives us two don'ts and one do. Two don'ts and one do to make sure that our word is our bond. And the first don't Jesus gives us is this. Don't be dishonest in what you say. Don't be dishonest in what you say. Now that sounds simple enough, and yet millions of people struggle with this command each and every day. Again, verse 33, Matthew records the words of Jesus as follows. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" Now, in those days when someone would swear, it was in effect the same thing as taking an oath. In fact, the Old Testament, God often guaranteed the fulfillment of his promises by an oath. And in the same way, the Old Testament permitted a person to swear by the name of God to substantiate an important affirmation or promise. And so the reason why you would take an oath is to verify that what you were saying was true. Again, today, we live in a country where oaths are taken every day. For example, not that long ago, President Biden put his hand on the Bible, and he raised his right hand, and he vowed to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They call that taking the oath of office. Every day, people enter courtrooms around this great nation of ours, and they take the witness stands, raise their hand, and they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God. That is an oath. Now understand that an oath does not keep you from committing perjury, but it makes you legally liable if you do. And yet that is not the type of oath that Jesus was necessarily dealing with here. You see, the Pharisees felt that an oath taken to God had to be kept. In other words, if you swore something was true by God himself, then you had to be totally and completely honest. If you gave a divine oath that you would do something, you had to do it. If you gave a divine oath that something was true, then it must be true. But if it was not a divine oath, then all bets were off. So it really wasn't what you said that mattered, but it was how you said what you said that counted. Well, Jesus points out a problem with that. And here it is. If a person has to swear to you that they are telling the truth, that means that they normally lie. And that generally you can't trust anything that they say. You see, the Pharisees and others like them had obviously forgotten the truth of Proverbs 12 and verse 22, which says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Now let me tell you the truth about a person who tells the truth, because a person of character does not have to use God's name to prove that he or she are telling the truth. because their own name should be enough. When I was growing up in the late 1950s, early 1960s, my grandfather owned and operated a machine shop out in the village of Butler, not too many miles from this church. And he machined parts for plumbers and auto repair stores and the like. And many times he would extend credit to his customers solely on their word and a handshake. No contract, no signed promissory note, no two witnesses to the attest to the agreement. Again, brothers and sisters, what a shame it is that everything today has to be signed, witnessed, and filed in triplicate, simply because so many people today do not keep their word. Dear friend, listen. If you are known to other people as a person of honesty and a person of integrity, then you don't need to swear to anything. Because people already know that you can be relied upon to tell the truth. And I believe the worst thing that can be said about someone in this world is this: you can't believe a thing that he says. Or you can't believe a thing that she says. Now think about it. Would you hire someone who had great skills, dress nicely, if they had good, friendly, outgoing personalities, worked well with the public, and yet you could not believe anything that they said? Of course you wouldn't. Because that type of person causes trouble and stays in trouble. I once heard about a man who was driving his car down the road when he was stopped by a police officer. Police officer said, "Sir, you were going 75 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone." The man said, "No, sir, I was going 65. To which the man's wife said, "Now, Harry, you know you were going 80. The officer then said, "I'm also going to give you a ticket for your broken taillight." The man said, "Broken taillight? Officer, I didn't know I had a broken taillight." To which his wife said, "Now, Harry, you've known about that taillight for 5 weeks. The officer then said, "Well, I'm also going to give you a citation for not wearing your seatbelt." To which the man said, "Oh, my seatbelt, I just took it off as you were walking up to the car." To which his wife said, "Now, Harry, you know you never wear your seatbelt." Well, at that point, this man had had it. He turned to his wife and said, "Sarah, would you please shut your mouth?" Which the officer asked the wife, "Ma'am, does your husband always talk to you this way?" To which she said, "Oh no, officer, only when he's drunk." You see, we should take very great care to either speak the truth or not speak at all. And yet I don't want to be misunderstood about this matter of honesty. Now the fact is, you and I should always be totally honest in the things that we say. And yet you don't always have to say all that is totally honest. Now let me say that again, because it sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, but it isn't. You and I should always be totally honest in the things that we say. And yet, you don't always have to say all that is totally honest. Now, the fact is, there are some people in the world who pride themselves on being brutally honest. And unfortunately, they're usually more brutal than they are honest. Now, let me give you an example. I'm going to give you a lot of examples today. I heard about a woman who was trying on different dresses in the mall, and she found one dress that she particularly loved. But she was afraid it might make her look too big. So she put the dress on and asked her husband, who was with her, "Dear, does this dress make me look fat?" To which her husband said, Of course not, sweetheart. It's your hips that make you look fat. You see, dear friends, there are times when it is better to make no comment than even making an honest comment. Proverbs 10:19 says this, "Whoever restrains his lips is prudent." And that was probably one man who had wished he had restrained his lips. So first Matthew says, don't be dishonest in what you say. But then he goes on to say, and don't be deceptive in what you say. So don't be dishonest and don't be deceptive. Again, verse 34 to 36 says, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair either white or black." You see, again, the Jews divided oaths into two classes or two categories. Those you had to keep and those you didn't. Now, I've already told you that if the oath contains God's name, then you had to keep it. But if not, you didn't. Let me share with you another little example. Some of us here today will remember this. When we were children, and we made a promise to someone, a promise we really didn't want to keep, we would cross our fingers behind our backs. Anybody remember doing that? Glad I'm not the only one. By crossing our fingers behind our backs meant that we did not have to keep the promise we just made. And so this was sort of the Pharisees' way of crossing their fingers behind their backs as they lied. You see, they had taken an oath, but it was an oath they never planned on keeping. And yet, because they did not swear by the name of God, they believed that they would not be held responsible for breaking their oath. And yet, dear friends, an oath is an oath, and a lie is a lie. In fact, it was more than being dishonest, it was being deceptive. And what's even worse was that they did not even accomplish their purpose of getting God out of the picture. Because listen, Jesus said, if you swear by heaven, it's God's throne. If you swear by earth, it is his footstool. If you swear by Jerusalem, it is his city. If you swear by the hair on your head, well, God's the one that put the hair there in the first place. Again, this really hits home to where we live today, because not only are we living in a dishonest society, but dear friends, we are living in a deceptive society. God owns it all. God sees it all. God hears it all. And do you know of any sin, perhaps more prevalent, that goes on every day than that proverbial little white lie? You know, I'm convinced that the little white lie would win first prize for the most frequently occurring verbal sin. In fact, one study found that adults admit to telling 13 white lies every week. And my guess is that is probably a white lie in and of itself. Because let's face it, who wants to admit to being a liar? But the fact is, everybody tells white lies. You see, this is the day of double talk. This is the day of putting a spin on something and everything. In fact, when a political candidate gives a speech or holds a news conference, each news outlet goes to something called the spin room, where each news correspondent gives his or her version or spin of what it is they want you to believe the candidate just said. And today, it really depends on what the meaning of is, because we can no longer just tell it like it is. We just cannot speak honestly, plainly, and simply without putting a spin on everything. Again, for example, take the business world. And I want you to listen for the spin that corporations put on their business decisions. Okay, ready? Here we go. One Vermont firm had to reduce their workforce, but they did not say that people were being permanently laid off. No, rather they call it a career change opportunity. When General Motors closed one of its plants, they called it a volume-related production schedule adjustment. When Chrysler closed an entire plant and handed pink slips to some 800 workers, they did not say, thank you for your 30 or 40 years of service to the company, but you're fired. No, they put a spin on it by announcing they were beginning a career alternative enhancement program. And of course, business is not the only culprit here. Education is one of the worst offenders. Did you know that students no longer fail? Rather, now they achieve a deficiency. People are no longer school bus drivers. Now they are certified adolescent transportation specialists. And of course, government is heavily involved. The Defense Department says that soldiers are never surrounded. Rather, now they simply engage the enemy on all sides. And soldiers are never outnumbered. They simply operate in a target-rich environment. And governments never raise taxes. They just enhance revenues. You see, this is what Jesus was dealing with by saying it's just as wrong to be deceptive as it is to be dishonest. Now, there's an interesting book. It's called The Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations. Let me say it one more time. The name of the book is The Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations. And in it, Lehigh University economist Robert Thornton came up with some clever ways to recommend people you work with that you would really like to get rid of. For example, for the lazy worker, you could say this: in my opinion, you'll be very fortunate to get this person to work for you. For the criminal, you could say, oh, he's a man of many convictions, and I'm sorry we let him get away. For the untrustworthy employee, you could say something like, her true ability is deceiving. For the inept worker, you could say, I most enthusiastically recommend this person with no qualifications whatsoever. You see, you can put a spin on anything and everything and easily disguise or change or shade the truth of the matter. And now we may think this is real slick, but Jesus said that truth has no shades whatsoever. And the fact is, in God's eye, a half truth equals a whole lie. And a white lie is black in God's sight. And one of the seven things that God hates is a lying tongue. And so first, Matthew said, don't be dishonest in what you say. Secondly, he says, don't be deceptive in what you say. So those are our two don'ts for today. But here is our one do of the text. Verse 37, Jesus said, do be dependable in what you say. Do be dependable in what you say. So Matthew concludes by saying, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now Jesus was talking here really about two things, not just one. First of all, he's talking about honesty. And again, let me tell you what honesty is. Honesty is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. When you understand that your word is your bond. And that's why, again, if your word is good, You do not need to swear. And if your word is not good, well, then swearing is useless anyways. For example, if you borrow money from someone, you don't need to say, well, just as surely as God is in heaven and the sun rises in the east and the Pope is Catholic, I will pay you back. No, you simply say, I'll pay you back. You let your yes be yes and your no, no. And incidentally, honesty is not just the best policy. As far as Jesus is concerned, it's the only policy. And honesty is also a marketable commodity. In 1982, the Forum Corporation of Boston, Massachusetts, studied 341 salespeople from 11 different companies and 5 different industries to determine what accounted for the difference between the top producers and the average producers in the companies. And of these, 173 were top salespeople, and 168 were average salespeople. And when the study was concluded, it was clear that the difference between the two groups could not be attributed to skill, knowledge, or ability. However, the Forum Corporation found that the difference could be firmly attributed to honesty. The persons who were rated top in sales were the most productive because their customers trusted them. And because their customers believed in these top sales producers, they in turn purchased the product from them. Why? Well, it is because honesty pays, and it pays big. But Jesus is talking more here than just about honesty. He is also talking about integrity. And so once again, what's the difference? Well, integrity is saying what you will do and then doing what you said you will do, even if no one's watching. Now, let me say that one more time because I think that's important. Integrity is saying what you will do and then doing what you said you will do, even if no one's watching. You see, beloved, when people can say about you, what you see is what you get. And when they say you can depend on anything that he or she tells you, then you have both honesty and integrity. And did you know that the word integrity comes from the Latin word that means whole or complete? American educator, author, businessman Stephen Covey puts it this way. Integrity includes but goes beyond honesty. Honesty is telling the truth and conforming our words to reality, while integrity is conforming reality to our words. Or more simply stated, honesty and integrity is keeping promises and fulfilling expectations. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:10 that we should be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. And that word sincere comes from a Latin word that means without wax. The Greek term means sun tested. And here is where it comes from. And I'll close with this. The ancients had a very fine porcelain, which was greatly valued and very expensive. But often when it was fired in the furnace, tiny little cracks would appear in the porcelain. Now, dishonest merchants would smear a pearly white wax over these cracks to make it pass for true porcelain. That is, until it was held up to the light. And then these little cracks started to come through. But honest dealers, they marked their flawless porcelain this way. Sine cara. Sine cara. Latin meaning without wax. Beloved, when our words are held up to the light of the holiness of God, may we all be found to be sincere and without wax. And the only way to do that is to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now we're going to have a time of response. Catherine is going to come and play. Pastor Don and I will be standing at the front. If anyone would like to come and pray with either of us about anything that's on your heart or mind, we invite you to do so. And then Pastor Paul will come and he will share some announcements and some areas of service this week, and then it'll be dismissed. So Pastor Don, would you join me at the front, please?